the Business on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Electric Ireland. Our business is understanding yours.
Good morning. Coming up, the Mayo man who became London's cab king, Paul Galvin on becoming a brand, and moonlighting entrepreneurs. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 1857 15150, email thebusiness@rte.ie or tweet to @thebusinessRTE. But first, the Housing Agency was set up by the government 4 years ago to provide advice, support and analysis to local authorities, housing bodies and to the Department of Environment. Yesterday, it sounded a significant alarm bell. In a new report, the agency said that Ireland is going to need a minimum of 80,000 new homes to be built in urban areas between now and 2018 if we are to meet the housing needs of our growing population. So what's the holdup? We're joined by Tom Dunn, Head of Surveying and Construction Management at Dublin Institute of Technology, and John McCartney, Director of Research at Estate Agency Savills Ireland. Tom, I'm struck now, particularly today's newspapers, especially the Irish Independent, have gone very big on it. Cash-strapped builders will now get state loans to tackle the housing crisis. Is it a crisis?
It is. What we're experiencing now is a natural rebound in a market after a trough, and a very severe trough that the country has gone through in the last 5 or 7 years. We haven't been building houses in Dublin, in particular, where there is a demand, and there has been a demand for quite a bit of time. So what's happened is that as the economy gathers together again and people start getting jobs and getting employment and making a bit more money, they are now wanting to buy houses. And the supply of houses, new houses, is just not there. The supply of older houses, second-hand houses, existing houses, is also not coming on the market. So what people are doing are bidding against each other and driving up prices.
But isn't that normal economics when you get a situation like that, and that the market will sort itself out? The price will go up, and builders will say it's profitable, then they'll come and they'll build and more people will sell.
Very much so, George. But the problem I think we're now seeing is that because the construction industry was really devastated during the recession, it's taking time to get back to a point where it can start doing what builders should do, and that is supply accommodation into the market. It's more it's difficult to do that for two reasons. One is the employment is gone. A lot of builders have gone into NAMA. They're in trouble with their own banks. They can't get finance. So getting back to a situation where they can supply housing into the market is proving much more difficult this time than it has in any recession in Ireland in the last 40, 50, 60 years.
Partly because, as you say, they have no money, which I think is at the root of that story today in the Independent, which says that the government's new investment fund is set to provide loans to cash-strapped builders in a radical move to try to ease the desperate shortage. And they're suggesting, I think, that they're going to give these guys the loans and they'll then go to the banks and say, now we have a little bit of equity ourselves, will you also lend to us to the banks? John McCartney, what's your take on that?
Well, I would concur with everything that Tom has said. But I would point out that I think the impediments to housing development are more than just the lack of development finance. I think the bigger problem at the moment is that in many cases, builders are finding that the costs of construction for new housing development actually exceed what they'll be able to sell the properties for when they're finished. And in many cases, this reflects actually public policy. So on one hand, we're looking at development levies. So builders have to pay a certain levy to the local authority for every unit that they build. Now, house prices have come down by 50% in Dublin since the peak. And to be fair to the local authorities, they have reacted by reducing development levies, but not by anything like the 50% that prices have come back. So as a result of that, the proportion of each sale that the builder has to give back to the local authority in the form of a development levy is increasing. And there's an opportunity to intervene if we decide in the public good that we need more housing to prevent double-digit price growth going on for the next 18 months or 2 years, then I think it's appropriate to look at development levies. Likewise, VAT on new housing. A lot of people don't realise that when you buy a new house, the builder has to give 13.5% of the value of that house back to the revenue commissioners in the form of VAT. So to put some numbers on it, the average price of a new house in Dublin today is about €303,000. So that's €41,000 that goes back to the government in VAT. Now, if the government was to intervene and reduce the VAT rate on new housing construction to 9%, like they have done with the tourism and hospitality industry, what that would mean is that builders would save 4.5% of the sales price on of the house, and that would go directly into their bottom line. And what that would do is it would bring schemes that are currently marginal, that don't meet the break-even criteria, it would bring them into play, and it would result in an acceleration of new development.
But there would be a consequence of that in higher value areas where house prices are higher than construction costs. And if you did that in those higher value areas, you'll just drive up the price of land in higher value areas. So that one size fits all solution across the nation is not going to work for the government in the way they think it's going to work. It's going to have some unintended consequences, which I think would be undesirable and would increase land speculation.
Well, I'm sure as well now, John, there'll be very many people listening and they're saying, hang on, am I hearing this right? Is this a suggestion that builders should get more tax breaks? Isn't that what got us into the trouble in the first place? Why would you want to be playing around with the taxes on these things to fix a problem which was caused by the fact that the whole thing was tax-driven in the first place?
I think what John was referring to initially was the development levies, the capital gains tax, the windfall tax, as they call it, and then there's the Part 5. Those three measures were brought in to address a deficiency in the planning system where when you zone land, the price of it goes up. So the government has measures to capture that value, capture that back. Now, those three mechanisms evolved over a period of time. They need to be changed, and it's certainly the case that if we apply the existing regime to value capture, we're not going to get as much houses built as we need to, because John's absolutely right, the development levies have to be paid and the VAT has to be paid.
And they're passed on to the house buyers. But John, I wonder one thing, when you think about what's going on, obviously there's a suggestion here that the builders need loans before they can get to a bank because the banks aren't lending to them. The banks aren't really actually lending an awful lot in terms of house buyers either. The problem isn't, or is it? Some people might say to you, the problem isn't about profitability. It's about that nobody can get the money in the first place. So why? Maybe you're addressing the wrong problem. Maybe the problem is continue to fix the banks. If the taxpayer is putting any money into anything, fix the banks and then that will fix the property market. Are you just being a little bit rushed because you're in the estate agency business that you want your clients to be looked after rather than fix the real problem?
Well, I mean, I don't really have any skin in the game, George, to the extent that estate agents will benefit from more development. Estate agents will be able to work out a business model that works no matter what way the market goes. So I'm not coming at it from that point of view. But my perspective is that development finance actually isn't the biggest problem at the moment. Money has a way of finding its way into opportunities that will give a return. We're very, in this country, I suppose, caught up in the idea that development finance has to come from the banks. But we see that there are all sorts of private equity sources now coming in on the commercial property side. We've seen the REITs and so forth. And it's not unthinkable that private equity could come in and start building apartment blocks or housing estates even in order to satisfy the demand because they see a return on their investment. But I think the planning system and the way levies and local authority charges are
there's a lot of work to be done there.
Yeah, well, I mean, on the planning system, for example, one of the things that we're finding is that the local authorities, for all the best reasons in the world, are looking for high density development. Now, That makes sense in terms of ensuring that we don't have urban sprawl and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that in most locations, what the market is now looking for is family housing. And that's because of demographic factors.
Maybe that's just the market that's available, those who have the money. Maybe people who don't have the money can't afford those big houses and be perfectly happy if somebody could get a dense or otherwise, but at least a reasonably afforded accommodation that maybe they could afford. I mean, I think there's a suggestion in the Housing Agency report that a lot of the houses, Tom, that are going to be built are needed for one person and two person households.
Yeah, there's a change in demographic.
Which is not the family thing.
Yeah, change in demographic. But what we're seeing and what John is referring to is the immediacy of the demand at the moment, and there is an immediate demand now for family homes. And I think this is going to increase, because that sort of accommodation in Dublin is going to go into deficit in the future, because we're not going to be able to build those sort of houses and have a properly structured urban transportation system. So the three-bed or the four-bed semi with a large garden at the back and car parking for three or two cars in the front, you know, those houses exist. And part of what's happening now is that people kind of intuitively know that they're not going to be increased in supply by the next phase of development. So people are bidding against each other for an existing stock of those sort of houses and driving up the price of them. From the government's perspective, that really doesn't matter, because just shoves up. It matters to the point that it does have a demonstration effect. But from the perspective of housing, what we really need to build is the kind of housing you see in Ranelagh, in Clontarf, in Drumcondra, which is often terraced houses, maybe three stories. Maybe you don't get a car parking space at the back and maybe you only get a small garden in the front. But building at densities of 25 or 20 to the acre.
Well, indeed, I agree with Tom. I mean, I think it's important to be clear what's driving the demand for family homes. It's a demographic push. In Dublin, shockingly, the number of 20-somethings in Dublin has fallen by 26% since 2009. Now, only one-third of that is due to net migration among that age cohort. Most of it is due to the fact that the birth rate peaked in 1980 and fell precipitously after that and continued falling till 1994. So if you roll the clock on 30 years, what we find is that the number of 20-somethings in Ireland is going to continue to decline until 2025. And they are the natural apartment dwellers. For this reason, we need family homes.
Different type of house.
And the problem is that the local authorities haven't all adjusted to
that,
this, and they're still insisting on the apartments, and the sales price won't justify construction of those.
Well, I know that they were the kind of things in terms of the population projections that the housing agency had looked at. So if people want to know more, you can download the report on the housing agency website. It's easily accessible and it'll give you lots of insight on that. John McCartney and Tom Dunn, thank you both very much indeed.